So, Kaylin, it's like, it's been a minute since we had a female on the podcast, so it's kind of like dope to have a different energy here, especially at the shop. It's the first female at the shop on the podcast. Okay. So, welcome, you know what I mean? First and foremost, Enzo, and that is my co-host. How long you been playing basketball for, Kaylin?
So actually, well, I'm going to introduce myself. My name's Kaylin Brown. I go by KK Gets Buckets, you know.
Let's go.
Yeah, so I've been playing since I was 4 years old. And ever since, I just love the game. I had a passion for it. I really take pride in my work ethic. So every day, you know, getting better.
Do you remember, like, what made you fall in love with it at 4 years old?
Ever since I was young, I always had a ball in my hands, always dribbled, always, you know, I slept with it, always shot, and I just loved it ever since.
All right, so I have a question. Since my daughter just turned 3, what do you think I can do to instill that love for the game? Because I want to, like, I put a soccer ball in front of her, but she wasn't too fond of it, it seemed like it. Like, she would cry at the practices, but she was 2 at the time.
Right.
So you're saying at 4, you slept with the ball?
Right, yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, I did. I slept with it. I dribbled in grocery stores and always had it with me. You know, I actually played soccer as well, but I started playing basketball first, and then I felt like I'll have a better future playing basketball. I was good in soccer, but I was like, I'm going to go pro in basketball. So I just chose basketball, and I actually loved it more. I liked soccer, but I just had a passion for basketball.
But at that age, you already told yourself, I want to go pro.
Yeah, I just knew from the jump. I was like, I'm going to go pro, you know, no matter the adversities and everything, you know, that's going to face along the way. I don't know if, you know, you're going to ask any question or mention that. I don't want to get too far ahead, you know, jump.
No, for sure, but I'm sure there's
adversity. Was it like you were watching someone? Was it your, like, someone was influencing you in a sense that made you want to get that love for it? Or was it like you were watching the games, like?
I would just say I watch games a lot. You know, my dad used to play as well. I watched Kobe a lot growing up. So I would just say I wanted, you know, to be that next, you know, female professional basketball player that people looked up to. And, you know, like Diana Taurasi's and the Sue Birds. And I wanted to just instill everything I learned, like, growing up, you know, how to, like I said, fight through the adversity. There's obstacles, you know, and just to be a mentor and good role model to the young girls that want to play after me.
That's dope. So you watched Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and Lisa Leslie. That was your era that you watched, or were you a little younger for that?
I didn't really watch much of Lisa Leslie, but more like Diana Taurasi, Candace Parker. And actually, I'm looking at, you know, the new players like Caitlin Clark, Sabrina Ionescu, Kelsey Plum. So a lot of, you know, the new players I look up to, and I kind of model my game after, you know.
For sure. And who was one of your favorite players since, like, 4 years old going on, male or female?
So I was young. I would say Kobe. I love Kobe. I always, you know, listen to his motivational speeches. I've watched his game. I have his books. I would say just his mentality and his work ethic. You know, that's why I go so hard each and every day. I didn't really have, you know, good coaches growing up, you know, like that would mentor and, you know, respect my talent and work ethic. Mm-hmm. But I'm just blessed to have great trainers like PD and Dev and just Aaron Perez. And actually, I have some great coaches this season upcoming that really believe in my talent and is going to let me be the starting point guard and, you know, lead the team. So just shout out to Coach Tiana Campbell and, like I said, my trainer PD. And
what
Coach
school is this?
Actually, I'm going to be going to Bethesda University. So it's a new school, a new university in Anaheim.
Oh,
they just
dope.
Started their women's basketball program. So we've already started spring training and everything. So we're getting after it.
So from what school were you at before that one?
So I was at University of St. Mary's in Kansas.
Okay. Oh, so you were like even away from home.
Yeah,
and
I was in the Midwest.
How was that experience? Before we even get, I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves. So it was 4 years old. And then you got to elementary, and elementary where you already balling up the little boys. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, I was good when I was out. Always played with boys. And then when I got to high school, I actually went to St. Bernard. They had a really good program, but the coach left. So I ended up going to Luzinger High School, which wasn't a known school, you know. And then I ended up winning a championship 2017 at Fairfax. So, you know, my journey was, you know, different. It was rough. But, you know, it just made me stronger, you know, made me a better person, made me grow because – like, behind every storm, you know, in my head, it's always going to be a rainbow. So everything that's happened to me is just a different journey, different path. But I'm still going to stay focused on the vision and the dream.
So you did win a championship?
Yes, I did.
For high school?
Yeah, Fairfax High School.
Oh, sick.
And how was that? Because not everybody achieves that at high school.
Right, right. It was great, man. It was really great. It was a good feeling. We were actually down by 19 points at halftime. We were playing Palisades. Mm-hmm. So they actually won 2 years prior, back-to-back. And we were down, like I said, and I came in, hit the game-winning three, 10 seconds left. And it was a clutch moment. You know, I train every day, so I prepare for those big-time shots, big-time moments. So it was a blessing.
Was the team kind of like with that mentality, well, this team has won it so many times, how do we defeat them? How do we overcome that, you know, mentally in order to achieve that?
Yeah, like I said, coming in, you know, I just, like, as a team, we just said, this is our year, you know. We had our chemistry. We had a good year going. And I actually played one of the girls on Palisades, and I've been going at it with her for, like, years. We actually played in the championship in seventh grade.
So would you consider her, like, kind of like your rival in a sense?
Her name is Chelsea, by the way, Chelsea Gibbons. So we actually played, you know, with and against each other. So seventh grade at Crossroads, she was at Windward. So I ended up playing her at Crossroads. We won the championship. It was a close game, neck and neck. She hit a three, I hit a three. We were going neck and neck. And
it's all like competitive love, though, you know what I'm
saying? Right, right. Yeah, cool, we all pushed each other to get better, and then we ended up playing against each other in high school, you know. So I'm waiting in college. She just actually graduated from LMU, so probably in the pros, that's when we're going to maybe get after it again. But
or perhaps be teammates, right? You guys might be teammates, right?
Right, right, yeah. That. Maybe we play for the Sparks. We play in the WMU together.
Oh, let's get it. I love that manifestation. You got to get it.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. And especially when you put the work behind it. And exactly. You got to be louder with the manifestation because going to come. Like,
I believe in work ethic, like I keep on saying. You know, it's like you can have talent. You can be good. But me personally, I don't just rely on my talent.
You outworking the guy that's naturally talented. The person that's like, because that's what it's about. Like, a lot of people don't understand that. Especially for basketball, like, I mean, you're usually a point guard, so usually the shortest person on the court. Right. We have to. I can relate because I had to play point guard in the past, and it's always like you gotta outwork everybody, and it's like a chip on your shoulder. But at the end of the game, like, you know, you stamp yourself because they know what kind of damage or how lethal you are. You know what I'm saying? That it's sick. So
not only that, you're the brain of the whole team. Oh, and then that part.
How does it feel to get the keys?
You gotta have that eagle vision to be like, how am I gonna set up this play? You know,
how does it feel to get the keys from to the new team that you're about to?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a blessing. Like I said, I put in the work, so I finally have a coach that's gonna give me that opportunity to lead the team. And I'm a scoring player. I'm a shooter, so I shoot threes, but I also facilitate, get my teammates involved. But also, when it's time, like I said, when it's time to step up, you know, I'm gonna make sure I take over. But it feels great. It's a blessing. Like I said, I'm just thankful, and I'm just going to continue to grind every day and, you know, train and get better. Just take it day by day, week by week. And, yeah, it's a blessing. I'm thankful.
Have you faced any injuries in your career as far as, like, from, like, high school up until this point?
No, I've actually been pretty healthy. I work out. I lift a lot with my trainers. And dope. We lift, so we make sure I'm stronger, get more explosive power. Aaron Perez, our new strength and conditioning trainer, been doing a lot of stuff in the sand. So we've been doing, like, explosive work, strength work. So that's important. I have had concussions, you know, but not really injuries. I've tried to stay fit and in shape.
Oh, sick. And how does that affect your game when you get a concussion? Like,
I mean, it affects your memory, you know, but I'm always going to be able to shoot, handle, you know, I'm always going to be able to have my skill set, you know, but just my memory. But other than that, I mean, I still see the floor. I'm still playing like I usually do, like I haven't had any.
Isn't it crazy how a lot of people think that basketball is not that physical, but you get concussions in basketball too? Like,
yeah. See, I mean, I was young when I got, I was, you know, diving for balls out of bounds and playing football elementary school. It's like I was, you know, young when I had them, but I feel like it's not as physical. Now I feel like more the men's game, it's more for, like, you know, like, in a sense, meaning like foul calls, you know, it's more like tiki-tack with us. We can't really get aggressive and get dirty.
You watch a WNBA game right now, you're seeing some real physical basketball.
Right, at the pro level. Yeah, yeah. You the pro don't see level, that it's real the physical. Yeah,
they blow the whistle real quick in the NBA, but the WNBA,
right,
they let us play.
Right, they let them play.
It's definitely, it's dope to see because I grew up watching Lisa Leslie, and then following her, the Sparks drafted Candace Parker. And then I had a little crush on her, too. She's just beautiful. But then I seen her UConn career. She just killed it. Was that UConn she went to, right?
Tennessee.
Yeah, there it is. Who went to UConn that was on the Sparks?
On the Sparks? No.
Nobody?
Yeah.
Then I thought, then somebody got drafted or something like that was on the UConn Huskies or nobody got drafted?
You probably talking about Breonna Story. She plays for Seattle, though. She was at UConn.
But there was somebody that I remember seeing that, like, brought Candace, like, to, like, I don't know, it just brought something out of her. She, I think she only got one in with the Sparks, right? And then now she recently went to,
was with Chicago, now she's with the Aces.
The Aces, yeah, right? Yeah, that's Vegas,
with Kelsey,
right?
Plum, yeah, she's with Vegas.
So it's like a trip to see her kind of grow from where she was at. Damn, I thought she was at UConn, bro. I don't know why I'm thinking.
No, Tennessee passed. I mean, you probably UConn, talking about Taurasi. I think you're talking about Diana Taurasi.
Did she go to UConn?
Because she went to UConn. She played
for because UConn is like, they're known for like,
right,
having females just kill it year after year after
year. Yeah, Gino
year.
Or like, Emma. Yeah,
isn't that the coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Gino. Yeah, he instills that discipline. And he also, he's big on that body language. So I listen to him a lot as well, too.
Okay,
yeah,
he's
a real disciplined coach.
What is something that you now, from watching like Candace Parker and Diana Taurasi, implement in your own game as far as like literally like playing basketball, the X's and O's?
I'll say, me personally, honestly, I watch more NBA. So, like, I look at Curry, Chris Paul, but a lot of times, like, so my step back, you know, certain things I do is from the NBA game, but also I'm not going to the NBA, so,
right.
I got to watch the WNBA game.
They got in the NBA, they got some shakes
right,
and movers.
Right, and Chris Paul coming off screens, but, yeah, like, Kelsey Plum, now I'm looking at more WNBA
players.
Is she
related to the Plums in the NBA?
I don't think so, but, okay. Yeah, Kelsey Plum, yeah, I'm looking at her.
Plum,
she's
Mason Plum Lee, not Plum.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
like,
right.
Kelsey Plum, she's a lefty, so she's great, so I look at how she carries her team, you know, when does she score, when does she pass, you know, just certain aspects in her game I look at, because, you know, that's why I look up to Sabrina and Nescu, these young guards. So when I come
Sabrina's
in,
Sabrina's that
rookie,
girl that was close to Kobe, right?
Yeah, Sabrina, yeah. So she played at Oregon. So, yeah, so all these guards, I'm coming in as a rookie in a few years, and they're veterans, so I'm going to learn under their leadership as well. So, you know, just bits and pieces of their game and the NBA game I try to admire in my game as well. But also I have my own game too, you know.
And what's something in your game that you don't see or that you're going to bring out that you don't think is seen? Or is it just the work ethic? Or do you
No. I mean, I'm a scoring point guard. I love to score, but my IQ is high. It can always get better, but I facilitate really well. So if I have a good big, man, it's going to be a problem. I need good big. So that's me. But, yeah, I like to score. I can shoot. I can handle the ball, good IQ. I'm working on my defense as well, just to be a two-way player,
right,
you know,
right,
like Kawhi and Pat Bev. So once I get that defense down, man, I'm going to be unstoppable.
Moving your feet. Oh,
right.
Yeah. That's incredible that you have that, like, tenacity already. I can feel it because it's like, now I feel like, let's go play. Let's go play.
Yeah,
then.
Man,
let's
we can play tomorrow. Let's go play once tomorrow.
That's crazy, though, because have you ever had, like, a friend of yours that brought that out of you that was a male that was, like, y'all was always competing and stuff?
I mean, I didn't have brothers growing up, so, I mean, not really. I had cousins. I have, like, play brothers. So, T.Y. Gotti, he's a big brother to me. He plays overseas, and he's playing in the TBL. So, we'll go at it when we get in the gym sometimes. You know, we're both shooters, so he'll make me better. I make him better. So
talk probably, a lot, like, talk
yeah,
smack.
Yeah, we talk trash and all that good stuff. But, yeah, probably T.Y. Gotti, he's always pushing me, and we getting back to it. Actually, he took me to the sand dunes this past week, and I was like, we got to get back to the dunes, man. We got to get back to that grind, right?
Because you get another like it's something. It's just a motivation from somebody that you know that he's overseas, he's at where you want to get to,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And have you gone to the dunes before? It's the first time you went with him.
No, that was actually my first time going to the dunes.
Oh, so he's exposing you to dope workouts and stuff like that.
Good speed work, good endurance, cardio. That's the main thing. Once I get my cardio up to play 30, 40 minutes this season, because my head coach was like, you got to be in shape, game shape. So once I'm in shape,
you're really living that basketball. Like, ball is life for her.
Right. I'm telling you, every day, like, that's all I do every day. I wake up, eat, obviously, train, do schoolwork, whatever, shower, and then
how do you
train.
Balance life, work, basketball, family?
I mean, I balance it because, like, I know my goals and my vision and my focus, so I don't, like I said, I don't go out much, here and there maybe to eat, whatever, movies, whatever, bowling, but like I said, my
for
training
podcast
but yeah, my training schedule, yeah, because what I do, I'll train, like I said, with my team. We do strength and conditioning in the mornings, then I come all the way, that's in Anaheim, then I come all the way back, I'm taking the bus and train, and then after that I go straight to the gym with my basketball trainer, with PD, and we get it in. We've been working on finishes, mid-range, a lot of stuff I'm not comfortable with, but we've been working on a lot of finishes and bumps and all that, so that can just expand my game, you know.
For
so
sure.
What I learned from PD, I'm very grateful because he really cares about you as a player and he pushes you. And I also worked with Earl Ramsey. I know he was on this podcast.
Right.
So there's a lot
shout
of
to Earl.
Good.
To Earl.
Yeah, shout out to Earl, God and Grind Gage. Sure. So, you know, just a lot of different trainers pushing me, and I'm learning a lot of new things to aspects, and, you know, to just make my game a lot better.
That's dope. So, like, you're ready, yo. I can feel it. You're gonna be in the next 5 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
we're gonna be like, yo, we had Kaitlyn on a podcast. She's overseas playing, and she's in the WNBA, you know what I mean? It's gonna be, I can't wait
to see. Just trust that journey and process. Yeah, just keep staying humble and stay on the grind, stay focused, and I'm ready.
Laker fan too?
Laker or a Clipper fan, yeah. I'm a Laker fan all day. Laker.
He had to check.
Hey, Laker fan all day. Kobe, man. Austin.
I mean, there's a lot of people that like Kobe, but they didn't like the Lakers.
Austin Reeves. I like Austin Reeves. I like players who are underrated. So, like, Austin Reeves is an up-and-coming, you know, young player. He could score the ball. He could shoot. I like that. You know, he got game.
Honestly, we went to go watch them play against the Magic.
Okay.
And the way he carried that team that night... Because he, what the hell, he
35
that night.
I had called
and
it,
and we were just, like, I was in shock because, like, I mean, AD wasn't doing anything that night. He had very low points. And just to see him, like, hey, get to the line. All right, we got to get it. And I was just like, man, Austin Reeves, man, he's something else.
Yeah, Austin Reeves is great. He got a game. I'm mad we got rid of Caruso, man. Alex Caruso. Should
have paid him the $8 million he wanted.
Hey, right.
They offered him $6 million. I'm like, what?
I'm glad we got Reeves, though. I think that's why they probably let him go, because they saw that on the radar. You know, the scouting Lakers saw that, and they're like, I mean, we'll be good.
But I mean, if we had both, man.
No doubt. Caruso played well with LeBron. He was cutting. Yeah. And, like,
Caruso.
Always find him.
Caruso is a player that knows how to play without the ball, which that is very rare. Like, to actually think ahead and be like, let me move out of the way, let me move, even though the ball's not there.
And he's a two-way player, too.
Yep, two-way player.
There's a lot of players that just stand there. Like,
right, and see, that's the thing, too. Like you said, like, you have to be able to play off the ball, you know? Mm-hmm. And some players can't play. Like, me, personally, I like having the ball in my hands. But, you know, at the end of the day, the higher level, when I go pro, I may not always have the ball. Man. Right. I may have to play on the wing. So, you got to learn how to score, you know, play off the ball. So, like, a lot of times, like, in the NBA, you know, some players can't play off the ball.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why, like Westbrook and LeBron just wasn't, like, Westbrook plays better off the bench. Like, Westbrook's been playing good with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely playing.
And then
a lot
the last
better.
Five, 6 games with the Lakers, though, you know, he was balling.
I feel like it just felt bad for him because, like, the spotlight LA, they just criticize him so much.
Media,
but he just don't have a jump
Lakers
shot.
If he had a jumper, man, that's what you need.
Yeah,
if you have a jump shot.
And, you know, what's crazy is you mentioned CP3. CP3 and Westbrook had the same
style
stats.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the stats were damn near identical. Like, maybe a point off in the difference and an assist, probably, like. And then the rebounds, obviously, because he loves to rebound. But it was, like, they were both averaging 13, 14 points a game. I think their assists, he had 8. CP3 was at 8. And then Russell was at 7. And then his rebounds was at 8. And then CP3 was at 5 or 6 or something like that. But they were, like, right there, right? And I'm thinking, why isn't CP3 getting this, like, criticism?
The same backlash.
Right.
And my conclusion was... He got a consistent jumper.
Right, that's the main thing.
That's the name of the game.
You got to be a shooter as well. And Chris Paul, like, in my eyes, he's a great point guard. But everyone keeps saying, oh, he's too old, he's old.
Nah.
But I feel like that's because he hasn't won championships. But, I mean, he's a great point guard, great player.
Because he's had the history of getting injured in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If he'd never gotten injured in the playoffs, he most likely would have had a ring by now.
Yeah, him and Booker and KD, though, that duo in Phoenix right now, you know,
That's a very bold statement to say. What team would he have won a championship with if he would never got injured, bro?
Who?
CP3.
It's probably one team that I'm thinking, like, maybe one team.
Clips.
Yeah, the Clippers.
Yeah,
2014.
I was gonna say Clippers.
City.
2014
City
team. Yeah. The year that wasn't that the year that Kobe
that was
dunked
the
down,
year, bro. That was the year they choked. Literally, they were up, I think 3-2
no,
or 3-1.
The year, yeah, to
they
the
were against
they
not to the Rockets, bro. And
oh,
they
the Rockets, Rockets.
I remember they gave the ball to Blake Griffin in the fourth
damn
quarter,
bro,
and he didn't know what to
some
do.
Sick ass brain farts today on basketball, yo.
Like Blake Griffin, he would get the ball, he would just freeze. And yeah, that was their series, and that's why when I hear Clipper fans, I'm like, bro, you guys had. Like, 8 years of down, 8 years of the Lakers being down and out, that they didn't do anything. They didn't make it a conference
not
finals.
Not even the playoffs.
Not even made playoffs. They just didn't make it out the second round.
We were making playoffs those years? After Kobe? We were making the playoffs.
Clippers didn't. Clippers were making...
They were making the playoffs going to Western.
They couldn't make it past the second round, though.
Oh, yeah.
Even with all this team. Bro, they had arguably one of the best six men of the year.
Who?
Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, Jamal Crawford.
They had Sean Livingston at one time,
Sean Livingston,
too. He was nice.
They've been stacked.
It's crazy how Sean Livingston left and then got a ring with the Warriors after his injury. Dang, that was a crazy.
It's a redemption star right there.
Yeah,
he was a key piece to it too.
He was their sixth man that year too, you know, when they won the first couple ones.
It'd be like that.
But does that clear up my statement?
The CP, no, I was just wondering what team were you going to pick, because that's the team I was thinking if he was going to. I don't think he would have won it with the Rockets when they had.
It's just injuries have prevented him from James Harden winning something.
Or do you think they would have won it with James Harden?
That's what happened last time, too. Remember with the Suns, when they finally made it, he got injured. And then that's why they went down.
Staying healthy.
And I also feel like Devin Booker was.
They got to the finals.
I also feel like Devin Booker was inexperienced.
He always gets injured. Because
it was his first finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he got hurt too. And then you had a guy wearing black Air Forces to each pregame. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Giannis doing that was crazy. Like, he was in here, black Air Forces, and then dropping 50 a game. I think he had 50 almost every game, right? For the finals that year?
Giannis, he went off.
Man.
It sucks he got injured this year as well. I mean, that's why his team couldn't make it this year.
For sure.
But staying healthy is key.
It is. But he fell on his tailbone. That's like out of your control. The way you land.
First game, 11 minutes in.
For real. Yeah. Ouch. I don't know, man. Kobe would still play, though. Right? Kobe played through these injuries. Get an epidural shot.
That's what Butler did. He got Butler got injured yesterday against the Knicks.
They still won?
He twisted his ankle. And he still played out the last minutes like that.
Jimmy Butler's like, he's the last of the Mohican. He's like from that era of like having that dog in him.
Yeah,
like,
he has that dog mentality. That 56-point game. I was like, man.
When?
Yeah, 56 the other night.
The game against...
Was this against the...
That was to kill the Bucks. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See, there's something going on in the league then. That 50-point mark, I think... Bron got to hit or AD got to hit a 50-point game in the playoffs. Curry got one. Butler got one.
I think that's the only way we beat the Warriors, to be honest.
LeBron averaging 50. He had 50 AD, one time on
AD
the...
AD got to go off.
I feel like, AD has to go off. Like, AD,
yeah, let's talk Lakers real quick.
Is that the... I feel like AD is like... Some games he's soft, and in some games he wants to, be aggressive and turn it on. It's
for
like,
real.
AD got to be consistent. Just be aggressive.
If you were his teammate, what would you tell him to get get him turn on?
I'll just say...
Because he's always turned off.
Just be aggressive, AD,
I'd be that teammate that, like, pisses him off so he can go off. You know what I mean? Like
Kobe, yeah, exactly. Like, do you hold people accountable like that in your team?
Definitely do. Yeah, and then as well, like as a pointer, you got to hold people accountable. Like if I'm not doing something, I'm not gonna tell someone what to do. But I'm always making sure I'm leading by example first. I'm working on being more vocal, but you got to hold your teammates accountable. If you're late, especially being on time is key too. Like, any little thing like being late, that's just one thing pet peeve. It's like I don't like players and people who are late. If you're late.
For sure.
It's not a good look, You gotta be early.
I was like, she's looking at us all crazy. Like, I should have been at 7 o'clock.
I've been on the clients, though.
And
we had a
even told her, I was like 15, 30
minutes
book,
early,
Everybody we book early. Comes half an hour later.
And it's like, that's just like, my workouts, you gotta be 15, 30 minutes early, like, beat traffic today. Like, I'm from LA. I was coming from LA, I didn't know what to expect. But like I said, you always got to be on time, got to be early. If you late, that's just a sign.
Kaylin
that's going
to eager to get on a podcast and tell y'all to be early.
That tells me if you on time, you late.
Exactly.
Early is on time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I second that.
That used to do that, but he was even worse. You could get there on time and he would mark you as late. He would mark you as absent. He would just be like, you got to get here before. Like, he was just like that.
See, but college, that's what they do to you in college, to teach you discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
To teach you that. I mean, I went to 2 years of college, and I even tried out for the Pierce team, and I was like, yo, these dudes are huge. Like, I didn't want to. And then that's when I knew that, the dog in me was in the barber life, not in the boys' life.
Have you seen that?
That's why you need some steak and potatoes, man.
Nah, real talk.
Steak and potatoes. That's what you need.
Have you seen that documentary of the JUCO college in East LA?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Netflix, is it called?
Last Chance U.
Last Chance U.
That was a great documentary. Mm-hmm.
I think they had two seasons of basketball now, right?
Yep.
Because one of the guys,
those stories in there, because a lot of guys are at this point, they're trying to go to like a D1 college or like a good college, or go overseas and stuff like that.
Oh, while we on that topic, East LA, that's a JUCO. Like a lot of times, people and players, they want to go to the UCLA's, USC's, and Dukes. And when I was out of high school, I was like, oh yeah, my skills, I could for sure play at a USC, UCLA. And then I was like, it's a lot of politics, and then the politics and adversity comes, and it's like, a lot of times there's players, like including me, like I didn't go to USC, UCLA, Kentucky, which I should have, but I just worked 2-3 times as hard because it's like they don't know. There's players at D2s and, you know, different NAIAs that are just as skilled, but they don't know their journey. They don't know the path. So it's like, and then when you make it, when you go to the WMA, when you go to the league, you just, you know, you tell them your journey. It's like how you got there. You just kept working, exactly. Stayed in the gym, stayed in the lab, just kept working hard, you know?
For sure. It's all about consistency and exactly. persistence. If you don't right. have that, you're not going to get far in life.
Like, exactly. That's why it's like, it's not about the USC's and UCLA's, because that's a bonus. Don't get me wrong. If I played at UCLA, USC like I should have, that's just the automatic, you know, bonus. Plus my skill level and work ethic and all, that's an automatic to the league. Because players at LSU, UCLA, that's an automatic most of the time.
Right.
You may not even be a skill. You know,
and it's
may
crazy.
Not even...
How do you feel about these girls that are like at LSU, they just won it and then saying, I'm not going to the WNBA. I'm going to wait and I'm going to take this. And then, and what is it?
I would do NIL, dude. Yeah. I would do the same exact
thing.
They
getting like, what, 3 million?
Right, 1 million, yeah. 3 million. Yeah, because I would do the same. I'll stay in college. I'll stay at LSU, you know, and still make more money than WNBA players.
That's what they were saying.
I feel like the NIL deals are great. You know, I'm going to get into Puma and Jordan. I got to start marketing and promoting myself as well and get some NIL deals.
Well, here's the
other
question. So you started playing before the NIL deal, correct?
Right, correct.
So how was that prior, and then how is it now after?
I would say, I mean, now it's blessed. Now it's great. I can get paid with NIL deal. I feel like when they didn't have it, you know, it was hard. You know, LA is expensive, so you know, yeah, you got to get some income. That's why I'm looking forward to playing professionals overseas. But with this NIL deal, though, I'm looking forward to that. That's just, you know, blessing, you know, just extra money in my pocket. So the NIL deals are great.
So have you already touched yours already then? Or not, they haven't came at you?
Not yet. Yeah.
So what do you have to? You have to become more popular for that opportunity to come, or is that part of the how you get that, or is
I mean,
it coaches?
Well, a lot team? Of time it's just marketing and promoting. I mean, like I said, if I was out of UCLA, USC,
that was like hands
yeah,
down,
yeah, it's automatic one. NIL deal. But you know, I just got to promote and market, and once I get, you know, my stats and footage and everything this season that I'm gonna get, you know, it's gonna be a lot easier. But I can, you know, talk to Jordan Puma, you know, the coaches I have now that believe in me. I can work on that, you know.
That's
as well.
Dope. And that would also entice you to kind of stay in college, right? Because they're making more money than WNBA players.
Right, but
and
I got to be at a UCLA, USC by then. I'm not going to be at this school right now, you know, long, because, you know.
So how many more years of college do you have left?
Well, eligibility, I have 2.
Okay.
Or maybe 3-2, but I'm going to go straight pro, obviously. But with that NIL deal, I'll probably do. So like I was saying, I'm going to go to Azusa Pacific. I'll play 1 year there. And then I may, if I want, maybe that last year, I may use that like USC or, you know, somewhere, and then go WMA Pro.
We got an Azusa Pacific.
Or I was
going
to just
right
play
here.
For Azusa, yeah, APU, and then go straight after there to overseas, because I'm getting a little older, you know, so I don't want to be in college. The NIL deal is great, but like I said, if I get, which I will, get a great year at Bethesda, great stats and footage, and then APU, and then I'm just going straight overseas in WNBA.
Let's get it.
2 years, man, 2 years.
Yeah. APU is a private, so... It's a private and
right. Christian school. And I was actually there at a game not too long ago because I met Coach Tim Hardeman.
Okay.
And Coach Hardeman, he's great. He's been there 16, 17 plus years. And when I saw his team play, I was like, man, I would love to play for a coaching team like that. Mm-hmm. Great chemistry, you know, no jealousy, you know, good ball movement, shooters, good, like my style of play. And he knows the game. It looked like all the girls loved each other, enjoyed playing for each other. And I want to play for a team and a program like that. So
how does, you mentioned jealousy. How does that happen? Because I know how it happened, but how do you handle that type of adversity in a team when you're like, you're just trying to be the best you can be. And then you get this type of energy.
I mean, I would just say the schools I went to, it's not my skill level. I'm way above. I'm a Division I player. So it's like the schools I've been to, I'm more talented, you know? And a lot of the guys, coaches, and everybody knows it, you know? I show it every day, every practice. So a lot of times they don't have the same skill set and skill level. So they hate, and, you know, that's where the jealousy comes in. And they, you know, the coaches would play them and would rather lose. And it's like, I want to win, you know, and I got to go somewhere where my talent is respected.
Right.
And where I'm going to show my talent. So it's like, if they want to lose, and it's been a lot of losing programs where I've, you know, been on the bench and just watching my team lose. And I'm like, the politics side, it's like the coaches, of course, they're not going to tell you why. And then they just preach to you, oh, you're good. You know, why are you not in the gym like KK or KB? And it's just like, once I'm in an environment with real hoopers and professionals and Division One players, you know, I showcase my talent, you know, that's when there's no issues, no jealousy. It's all about getting better and having fun, you know?
Right.
It's all about basketball.
Dang, so it's just...
Do those people also, like, withhold the ball from you, like, while you're doing
plays? Yeah, they don't pass you the ball, or...
It's just like, I'll, you know, score. Once I start scoring, you know, they'll go, like, that's the opposite way, or, like, the coach would tell me. Just certain things like that. It's like, it's where, like, those coaches, they know what they did, you know? I don't need to point out what coaches, but it's like... My work ethic and talent, my talent speaks for itself. So it's like the losing records that these coaches had, 3-15s, you know, the 4-12s, they still have it, you know. They're not winning. So it's like I'm gonna be on TV soon, and I'm going to be going this season with Coach Cam, and I'm going to be at a winning program, winning school, and they're going to see me on TV and be like, oh, I should have played Kalen Brown, you know.
Right.
But everything happens for a reason.
Everything so happens for a reason.
Keep pushing, keep moving forward, right?
Exactly. Like you said, that storm, the silver lining's in those clouds. Right, it's going to happen. Like. Yeah.
That's preparation and opportunity got to meet somewhere.
Right. I mean, it's going to be the storm, but, you know, like I said, I'm stronger now. It's going to be a rainbow. I'm going to have a great future. Spring is going great. Training is going great. And everything's a blessing, you know, just waking up each and every day, getting better.
Sheesh. And as far as overseas, where would you want to go?
I'll say probably I want to go everywhere, you know, Australia, Italy, Spain. Like I said, my good friend Diego, he's actually playing in Italy. He's from Italy. So he's loving it. He's like, when are you going to be a pro? When are you going to be a professional? When are you going to come out here? And I'm like, man, just grinding, taking it day by day. I'm going to be out there in 2 years. I'll be out there to see you.
Can you get an agent now?
Yeah, I can get an agent
and
now.
Like, maybe test the waters and see what opportunities.
Yeah, I actually went to Puerto Rico and played basketball against the national team. That was great. That was a blessing. And I played good, played well. It was a good competition. The Puerto Rican team is great. So I had a great time. I was out there for a few days or a week or so. And I'm actually going to go to Australia coming up in November.
Okay.
So I'm going to test out the waters in Australia to see how I like it.
Damn.
Have you learned the language, like Italian language, to be able to navigate over there a little bit?
No, not yet. I got to have him teach me. Not yet. I'm still working on Spanish. Espanol. So. I got to get my Espanol.
Me gusta. Like Kobe said that one time when they got Pau Gasol.
For real. Yeah. That's dope. So Italy, and he said Australia. And why Italy?
It's just, the Mamba, bro.
Yeah. I was gonna say that. Was it? Is it the Mamba?
Yeah, my man. And then like, it's just a nice, pretty country. Great city, good basketball. Anywhere in Europe, you know, like I just hear good things about Italy. Like I said, because my friend Diego is playing out there, so he tells me all about it.
Oh, dope! And as far as hobbies, what do you do when you're not playing basketball?
So hobbies, man, I like to play chess. I like to read. Snap. Yeah, I like to read a lot of motivational books. I like photography. I take pictures on the side. I like to go hiking. I'm in a hiking group once a month. We go hiking. So that's pretty much
that's, you know, dope. So hobbies. You keep to yourself, play basketball, family. And then so you're very centered and you're goal oriented. You know what you want.
Yes,
you know
sir.
Where you're going.
Very goal driven. Yeah, very self.
Who instilled that in you?
I would just say probably my trainers and my mom. You know, I'm very disciplined. Like, I know what I want, and I'm not going to let the obstacles or anybody or tell me I can't do it or I'm not, because I know I'm good and I know my talent and I know the work ethic is going to get me there as well. So
your mom's just been on your head, like, you got to put in the work.
But she didn't even really tell me, honestly. She didn't tell me that. I just, like, as a young kid, I just woke up every day. Like, she doesn't tell me, are you going to the gym? Like, even now. Like,
she here, so we got to confirm it.
Right.
Mom's kidding.
Yeah, she doesn't tell me at all. Any day, wake up, go to the gym. I do that.
So how do I get my daughter like that? Nah, that's
beautiful. It gotta be in the genes. I'm just kidding.
I mean, yeah, it does. Cause I mean, I love basketball at one point in my life. But like I said, I went to Pierce and I got that reality check that I'm not gonna get any taller. And then there was a black Mexican kid on the team. I forgot his name. I think it was like JP or something like that. Mm-hmm. But this kid was my height and can jump out of the gym. And I was like,
I mean, Curry, Chris Paul, not tall. You don't.
No, for sure not tall. But I was, I'm 5'5". I was like, he's 5'5", and he's almost dunking. I'm like, God damn. He's like, he was like,
what
doing.
Was that, Spud Webb? Who yeah, was that?
He was on
Nate Robinson.
Yeah, he was on that level. But okay. And I was just like you said, I wasn't eating my potatoes and steak. So
yeah,
he must have been eating his potatoes and steak.
So,
that's what made me give up. Because I was like,
he'll be eating McDonald's.
I was like, this kid right here.
He'll be eating
that
McDonald's, that junk food.
For real? Nah, I definitely was. So it tripped me out. Because at the same time, I was cutting hair already. And then to see him, like, I don't know where he went with it. But it was just intimidating. So keep going, man. Because it's a lot. It takes a lot to show up every day and put in that work. And, like, it's intimidating sometimes. That's probably people, why they're hating and jealous sometimes. Because they're like, why is she always working out? Why is she, you know? And it's like, nah, because she knows where she's going. That's why. She's going to manifest her destiny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but...
When you have thing with Kobe, they didn't like when Kobe worked out. Facts. Then they had to work out. Right. They had to step up their game. You know?
And Shaq, it's like, if you're lazy, like Kobe said, I don't want to deal with you, right? Well, like, I just listened to this video today. Like, when he's in his cage, don't talk to him. Don't bother him or nothing. You know, he's in his cage. He's working. He's grinding, you know? It's like, you can't push somebody to do something. It's like... If they don't want to work out, like, I had teammates who were like, we'll work out, you know, it's going great. And then all of a sudden, they stop working out. And then they play 40 minutes a game. And it's like, coach is playing them 40 minutes a game. And it's like, they're not in the gym, you know. They just show up to practice, and they automatically play 40 minutes. I'm like, what is that about?
A lot of nepotism going on around there, right? A lot of favoritism going on.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately. But like I said, when you want the right program and with the right coaches, they see that. They see your talent, you know.
That sucks, man.
40 you said minutes? You like photography. What type of photography do you capture?
I like nature. I like sports photography. I actually did some USC, some college basketball, and then some football photography, sports photography, football at my old school St. Mary's. I did some photography, photo shoots, nature, just whatever.
What type of camera?
I got a Nikon.
Okay. And then what type of lens?
Like the sports zoom lens.
Okay.
Yeah. D3500. Okay. But I kind of want a new camera, new lens. I need, you know, new lens.
You need a better aperture frame?
Yeah, better aperture frame.
Okay.
That's dope. What got you into photography?
In high school, I actually was in this photography program, and I liked the teacher a lot. So I just picked up a camera and started taking pictures, started shooting, and I loved it ever since.
Do you also do the editing as well?
I do Photoshop, Lightroom. Yeah, okay. I actually have to get back into it. It's been a minute. I haven't, you know, picked up my camera. I'm gonna this summer probably get back into it.
Take it for your hikes and stuff. Like yeah, for sure. I feel like Manny has a love for photography that you've put me on a few things.
Yeah, that's why I ask questions.
When I was younger, I remember I used to see you a lot at church.
Well, I used to work doing that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I used to work taking pictures for weddings, taking pictures for 15s.
Your dad used to do that, too?
Huh?
Your dad did that?
Nah, my uncle did.
Oh.
And my uncle's the one that would take me with him.
Gotcha.
And... Back then it was easier to do that than it is today. You know, back then people would like to get individuals. Like, you can get one person to do photography, one person to do video, one person for this, one person to that. So in a weekend, you could easily make anywhere between $1,000 to $3,000 on just let me do your photography.
So did you just do the wedding, or did you do sports photography?
No, I would just do weddings. I would do 15s, baptisms, whatever it was. That's what I would do. I would do like one gig on Saturday and then another gig on Sunday.
Okay.
So I used to do that. But then I stopped doing that because then it changed. The game changed in the sense that no one wanted to hire an individual. They wanted a package deal. So then... My cousins, they currently still do that. I have cousins that currently still do that, and they offer, like, the package where they'll do, like, they have the person that does the photography, the videographer, the DJ, the limo person.
Hold up, they want all that together?
The people want that because it makes it easier for the person. If they just hire one person that has everything, it's a one-package deal, it's a one price.
So they should just get a wedding coordinator,
prices.
Right?
So, like, my cousin does that. He just gives them the whole package. Like, here's everything. Here's the price.
I'm actually looking at, well, like a videographer for me. And I'm like, because I need some, you know, like I said, some good footage and highlights. This season is going to be a great year. So they were saying, like, and a lot of photographers, they do video. So they do both. So I can knock that out in one. But
that's
then,
the other thing. If you just do photography, you can't cut it anymore. Right. You got to learn the other one to do both.
And then the videographers, though, I'm like, how much you charge? You like $300, $400? I'm like. Get a package? Yeah, this is for, like, I want a documentary, so this is more like for a documentary as well. So, you know, like Mellow Ball, the YouTube documentary, you see everybody. I want that. That's separate, but also like per game. So, you know, their prices are kind of, so I kind of need a package deal. Maybe if I do like 5 games a season, like maybe the whole season, I got to work that out, you know, but yeah, it's, Yeah, you got to be able to, you know, afford that. But with that NIL deal, man, that's no problem, right?
So the school is the school you're going to right now is going to be a D1 or D2?
No, it's actually a JUCO. No, it's actually like an NAI.
Oh, okay, okay. So do they offer those deals at those type of schools too, or?
My head coach would just have to get a videographer.
Got you. So it's like it can happen then. Yeah, it can definitely happen. That's sick. Okay.
When are you going to be starting at Azusa?
I was actually gonna go to Azusa this past year, which I didn't know I wasn't playing at this school. I could have just went this past spring, but I'm actually gonna go this upcoming year, this upcoming fall. Not this upcoming fall, but the following. So what's it, 2024?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Because so I'm gonna play at Bethesda this season, and then I'm gonna go.
So your season hasn't started this year yet?
No.
When does it start?
In the fall. So we do in spring and summer training, and then
Your season ended, let's say, last fall.
Last season I didn't play, actually.
Oh, okay.
I just trained and worked out so I could be ready.
Got you.
So I saved that eligibility year.
Okay.
So because you can't play when you transfer, is that why?
No, you can't. I just didn't want to play, honestly, this year because like I was already transferring and I didn't want to. Well, the new recruits are coming in this upcoming fall, so I wanted to play with them, the new team. And then also was halfway through the season. I didn't even want to go to this school. Like, I wasn't going to play at this school. I was going to just go straight play at Azusa. Okay. But the assistant coach, I've been knowing her for 5-6 years. And she was like, hey, we need a point guard. I want to, you know, you to come play for me and Coach Cam, Coach Tiana Campbell. And it was her second year. This is going to be her second year. So it was her first year last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually met her at the Women's Drew League, this pro league that I played in.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I need a point guard. You know, you want to play for me? And I was like, you know, on the fence, like, I don't want to play at this school. They're not known, you know, any of that.
Yeah.
But and then I had a good opportunity. So then I was like, oh, I'll play for you. So then that's how I found out.
This is tape. This is me getting the keys to the team. This is a lot of experience. That's a great opportunity, in my opinion.
So then you're playing 1 year for them, and then you're doing then another year for Azusa?
Yes, sir.
For your final year?
No, I have 2 years. So I have another year after Azusa. Okay. If I want it, but I'll probably just go overseas WNBA. I'll probably be done with college.
Oh, nice. Dope. Yeah, because by that time you'll be, what, 26, 25?
Yeah, by 25, I want to be overseas.
You want to wrap 25. It up?
And are you working on your bachelor's?
Yeah, yeah. So I have one more year.
What are you majoring in?
So communications, broadcast journalism. That's why APU, I was like, they have a good.
They actually have an excellent program there.
They have a great communication, broadcast journalism. So I was like, and it's a Christian school. Like where you went, I was like, I loved it. When I went on campus, I didn't go on campus. Sorry. Mm-hmm. The game was cool. The grand game was great. But the campus I drove by, I looked at it. It was a nice campus.
Yeah. You got two campuses. You got the East and West. And then you have a trolley that takes you in between them.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm ready for the actually day in the life. APU, I'm gonna do that soon. I was supposed to. They've been emailing me and, you know, contacting me about that, but I've been so busy. But I gotta go down there and do a visit and all that.
Yeah, and plus, if since you won't be there for like, you don't have to. You get apartments as you get older. So like, your freshman year, you dorm.
Right, and then they send the juniors and seniors.
Yeah, juniors, seniors all get apartments.
Right.
So then you can live in the apartments that are close by there and stuff. Yeah, I lived at campus. So,
the apartments were nice.
I didn't have that college experience.
You plan on commuting? I don't know if I missed that part right now.
You said, am I commuting?
Yeah, when you go to Azusa, are you going to dorm?
Oh, no, I'm going to apartments. Okay, yeah, cool. I'm going to stay on campus.
Yeah,
because Azusa is far from L.A.
Yeah, she's probably going to be hitting that Chick-fil-A, bro.
That Chick-fil-A is
literally across the spot. It's across the street, literally, from Azusa.
Nah, she has chicken and potatoes.
Steak, bro.
I probably one or two now, I may go out, you know, but yeah, mostly meal prep probably during the week, you know what I mean?
Dope. And how early do you work out to do your first workout in the morning?
Said how early?
Are you like Kobe 4 a.m. in the morning?
Four? No. If I'm with my brother, we do 6 a.m. So we do 6 a.m. But with my team, we go 10 a.m. But I'm leaving the house at 7 a.m. I'm taking the bus and train from L.A. to Anaheim. So I'm out of the house by 6:30. So I got to get down there by 10.
So it's a nice little commute.
Nice
from
little journey. Yeah.
Damn.
Commute on that is that when you listen to your
that's
books?
Grind. Yeah, I got my headphones in. I got either my Mamba Mentality Kobe videos or that Nipsey playing, or I got
Let's
Drake
go.
Your little baby. You know, I'm just.
What's the warm up playlist?
Warm up playlist? man, that's about right. I'll say I got to have some Nipsey on there. You know, got to have some Drake. I like the old Drake. I like a lot of Lil Baby, you know, a little here and there. Forever, you know, on me. Kind of like mixing it up. Also, I also like 90s R&B as well in country. So I like some
Aaliyah.
Jason Aldean, some Luke Bryan. I like Luke Combs. And, you know, I got the 90s, the Genuine, you know, John B, New Edition Joe. I got to be even killed. So, you know, I can't always listen to rap.
I'm going to put you on to... It's not like you say, you can't always listen to rap.
Yeah, I gotta
so
be
in your warm up. Do you ever listen to music while you're warming up for a game?
Yeah, I always got my
headphones. All right, so that's why I say warm up playlist.
Next time, next time you're on the court and you're warming up like that, I want you to play James Brown.
James Brown? All right.
Just play some James Brown.
What song?
To be honest, any James Brown. Any James Brown's going to have you playing with the ball like a yo-yo. I'm telling
you. Like a yo-yo, my head is going to be on the street. Like,
yo, where did this come from? And it's James Brown just, I got the feeling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be that type vibe. Trust me, it's okay, it's something else. Okay. Like, because it's always got me hype. It's always like, and then he's screaming. He's like, it's trust me. James Brown. You didn't work out sometimes.
It's the boss. That's the one that is going to make you feel
that way. That one right there.
You got to pay the cost.
I like that new song, Big League. I like that Yo Gotti and Mozzie and Big League.
Is that off the drama tape? I think that is off the drama tape.
I don't know, but that's...
Hold on, let me see. That is a dope league song.
That's a good song. I like that song. That gets me lit.
You know who actually dropped a dope album? Jack Harlow dropped a dope album.
Yeah, I know. You guys listen to that Jack Harlow.
I fuck with that album. But hold on, let me see. Big League. Nah, never mind.
Big League, Yo Gotti, Mozzie. Mozzie?
I just heard a song with Mozzie, but it was on the DJ Drama album.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
But this one, it's called Been A While. It's called Been A While with Vori, G Herbo, and Mozzie. That's a dope song, too. But then there's another one that goes hard. It's called Forever with Fabulous, okay. Benny the Butcher, and I forgot who else. But it's DJ Drama. That whole mixtape is hard. Oh, yeah. So you like hip-hop, R&B?
Yeah, a little bit.
Country, I heard? Yeah. Who do you like country?
I was saying Jason Aldean, Luke Combs. I like... Luke Bryan, I like Buddy Jewel.
Who's that new light skinned dude that everybody's talking about? The country singer. My wife loves this dude, man. What's his name? The light skinned dude. Kane Brown?
Oh, Kane Brown. My wife is like, Kane Brown, take me
to a concert. And I'm like,
I love me some Kane Brown.
I was like, I already took you to Bad Bunny. Heaven, she's I have to take her watch that since I took her to Bad Bunny.
Oh, you went to that Bad Bunny? Yeah, I like Heaven, though. Kane Brown, Heaven. That's a good song.
I'm going to have to peep that because every time she plays it in a car, I knock out. I'm sorry, I'm not a country guy. But she says that this guy is kind of like blending the lines between R&B and country kind of.
Yeah,
he is. So
he's a little bit in the middle.
There's a couple songs that I vibe to, but then sometimes some songs just put me to sleep. But
you know, I gotta go with the Jhené Aiko, the Her, Summer
Let's
Walker.
Go.
You know, you gotta
Let's go. R&B.
A little bit of
Bryson
everything.
Tiller.
Yeah, Bryson Tiller.
How you feel about Brent Faiyaz?
I don't really listen to him much.
No, I like Brent. He's a little toxic sometimes, but okay. What about Giveon? You like Giveon?
Don't really listen to him much. Giveon
is dope. He got some dope, like, romantic love songs.
Okay.
Like, but that's like the new R&B, I would say.
Yeah, that's new R&B.
But I don't know. I like them too. You got any R&B you recommend her?
Nah, I'm old, like
John
R&B
John
for
B.
Me,
new edition. That's your ear.
For
right?
me, R&B, you're talking like Neo.
Oh, Neo. That's your ass.
Yeah.
Neo.
Do you Neo? That song make me cry still to this day.
that's R&B for me when I was growing up.
Just to bring it back to the Lakers real quick. Yeah. How far do you think the Lakers are gonna go this year?
I think he's asking Kaylin. You.
Man,
he's asking your,
I mean, hopefully,
your
I
opinion
mean,
on it.
That's going to be a good series. I mean,
we got the Warriors tomorrow.
That's
exactly.
What I'm game one is tomorrow.
I'm a little nervous. I'm clutching his mic like, damn.
See, Warriors aren't good on the road. That Sacramento game 7 was tough, but Jordan Poole got us. Curry can't do it by himself. That's all I'm going to say.
I know. He's been non-existent this whole series.
Jordan Poole got to step up.
Kings, I haven't. This whole series, I ain't
no,
heard nothing
don't.
About Jordan Poole.
Well, I'm a Laker fan,
Austin
right?
Reeves
so
Jordan
got to step up. Right, I'm a Laker fan, so yeah.
D'Angelo got to step up.
D'Angelo. D'Lo.
Nah, bro.
D'Lo got to step up.
Like I said earlier, AD needs to... Bro, they don't
AD
got a
and
big.
D'Angelo, though.
They,
I feel like.
The Warriors shooter. Don't have a big that can hold down AD. Right. That's why AD needs to go off.
Bro, that's the thing, though. Draymond's going to be
kicking
like,
people in the balls.
He's
going to
be
like
hitting
that.
Him, bro. He's going to be going at. Draymond's going to be the one going at AD, bro.
Yeah,
trust
Draymond's
going
to get you get in your head. No, AD's got to
stay
composed,
bro.
Man. But Draymond.
He's going to be calling him street clothes. He's going to be calling him all that, bro. You soft.
But I think D'Lo. I feel like D'Angelo got to be more aggressive, man. He got to look to score more. You know,
D'Angelo,
just do passes.
I was listening to ESPN radio today. They're talking about he has a very low field goal percentage in the playoffs,
right.
Like just career wise. So he definitely got to put that bring
you
that
gotta
up.
You got to shoot a high percentage as well. And percentages are key. You know, you got to shoot a high percentage.
I also feel like he should play with a chip on his shoulder, given that he used to play with his team.
And they let him go.
They
for
let him
Wiggins.
Go. You know what I mean? Right. He was basically there just using for cap space in a sense.
Him for Wiggins.
Yeah, for cap space.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And honestly, and when the Warriors got him, he was balling in Brooklyn. Those Brooklyn years, he was having. He brought that team up.
Yeah, low he key. Played good in Brooklyn.
I like that. I like when he had they had the Biggie jerseys too. Yeah, because that was when he was playing.
I got that one.
Right?
I got the 72 Biggie one.
Is it his jersey or is it just?
No, it says Biggie in the back. All right. And then it says it's number 72.
Yeah. So, he gotta have a big series in my opinion too. And
my favorite Hachimura gotta go off too.
Hachimura, he's consistent, bro. Yep. That boy is he's six man, bro. He's six man.
Since the moment he came to the Lakers, I'm like, I like this kid, man. I like him so much. And I was telling them, I was like, the reason I like him is because he does the basics right.
Like. That's all the little things, the details, yes. Right? That doesn't get noticed.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, he's not like a lot of people were like, oh, he's only dropping 10. I was like, but he's consistent.
He's consistently
right. Dropping 10.
He plays
10.
His role though.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He does the little things.
He don't do too much. He doesn't do too little.
Right.
But he just gets the little basics right. That I'm like, I like
fundamentals.
This kid.
Gets
let's
the job
go,
done.
Let's go.
I'm just worried that Curry's gonna go off or Klay's gonna go off and
Curry's gonna go off. You know, man, that boy can shoot.
We just can't let him go off. Like LeBron.
We just
better
gotta
be.
Run him off the line, you know, make him drive and AD gotta help and pin that, right? Pin that
for
off
real?
The line.
I mean exactly. AD had a great series defensively against the Grizzlies. I mean he had over like the 25 blocks in that series.
Oh, for sure.
So he and within five feet
no
of the
injuries,
paint, they weren't
please.
Doing anything.
No injuries, right. No injuries.
I think if AD shows up like that. We gonna be all right, you know what I mean? And at the
plus
end of the
you
day,
got Dennis Schroeder that can play defense. You also got Vanderbilt who can also play defense. Any of those two, you put them to lock up Curry.
Like with Curry, like he's such a great shooter. Like I feel like if you get Schroeder to get in his grill, you know, make him run him off the line, just ball pressure, play up, make him drive and tough finishes. Like
hit him
AD,
in the chest,
you know?
Just hit him in the chest every time.
And
he
make
the
him
ball.
Draw, like make him draw too. He gonna kick. Like, he got to play make and make a good decision. But right. With AD, that defensive presence, you know.
I think that this game is. I mean, this series is going 7 games for this reason that the
another
the,
7 game series for
I,
the Warriors.
I think the league is gonna squeeze
milk
the
it.
Hell out. Yeah, you're gonna milk this, bro. Curry versus LeBron again now in the second round. Like
that's gonna be the most watched series. It is, but I feel like that's like
I have the Lakers in six.
I'm
man.
A big
Lakers
conspiracy theorist,
yeah.
But that's just
it's gonna me. Go 6 or 7 games.
I have them.
But
in six.
I gave it 6 or 5.
Lakers
six.
In six.
I'd rather six because the sixth game is here in LA.
Exactly.
Oh, 6 is in LA. Yeah, we don't win at home. Yeah.
I don't. I think we're gonna beat them over there.
I think we're gonna probably win tomorrow night. Because we're more rested than them.
I got five.
So we probably win that first game. We probably lose the second game. It's a 1-1. Come back home.
We're gonna win 4-1. I think. Yeah, 4-1.
Five games.
I feel like
the thing too is that the Grizzlies were the team that they were going the most east for. So it was the most travel they're doing. I mean, they're going up to San Francisco. It's an hour flight.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's it's
and there's a lot of Laker fans over there too.
And it's also San Francisco. It's a in my opinion, I think I'm right. It's a better city than Memphis. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's more to do. Probably got better
that's
food,
the issue.
Better amenities.
You're going to be doing the wrong stuff. They better just be focused, man. LeBron got to get this team
so.
And be
yeah,
like,
yeah, LeBron,
let's just go to the hotel,
the tone.
Come back.
He sets the tone for the series. LeBron does. You know what I mean? He has a good game one. I think the rest of the Laker squad, you know, follows right behind him. But I think it's going 7 games, though.
I feel like me, like, I'm not a
Scott
LeBron.
Foster's about to have some questionable calls. You know what I mean? We're going to see some crazy stuff, like, you know what I mean? Because even throughout the season, bro, there was like, the crazy thing is that these two teams were basically one game apart, but mm-hmm. The Lakers had the tiebreaker. So if the Lakers would have had just one game, and there's a lot of games that the Lakers lost this season because of blown calls, like against the Celtics, against the Thunder when LeBron broke the record, like a lot of those games that the Lakers could have won. So the Lakers have their number. And for me, it's like LeBron, the when he faced off with Curry the first time, all right, Kyrie Irving was injured. Kevin Love got injured. You know, he only had, what, Dellavedova out there. That was basically it. Then the next time around, he comes back 3-1. And that was the season where I was like, yo, LeBron, you're the king for sure, bro. You're king.
Yeah, see, me, like, I'm not a LeBron fan, like, just his style of play. I'm a Laker fan, so if he is a Laker, you know, I'm going to support LeBron. He's
for
a great athlete, but, like, his style of play is just, I feel like his skill set, I'm not a fan of, you know what I mean? But he's strong, great athlete.
Slow down
the
game.
Yeah, but, I mean, he does make good decisions, you know. He does play make, and he is gonna make the right plays. Just the thing is, like,
he loves to take his time,
right,
slow it
he's
down.
He's patient. He's make sure he gets
the
best the shot,
clock
right?
Down.
But his game, I feel like, is like I'm putting my head down, going to the cup, going to the back, you know. And it's like he's strong, he's athletic, yeah. But like I feel like I'm more like, I like players who could shoot, you know.
Well, I feel like
just remember the play. Remember the play where LeBron took, I think he made it go to overtime against the Grizzlies, and it was he made a
great pass though to Schroeder in the corner.
Not that. It was that game. But remember when he drove to in overtime and he like took Dylan Brooks, and it was like,
and he did it with the left.
Did you see how he laid the ball up where it was like, I'm hitting the I'm just furious.
You talking about over Jackson, right? When he finished that.
Yeah. But it was like,
to take it overtime.
Will, and then it was like off the back of the backboard, right? But it was almost like, dog, it's just physicality. I'm like you're saying, I'm gonna just get there because I'm this big, this strong. You're not gonna stop me, and then like that's it.
But
and
he made the bucket. I'm
like, Kobe would have been like
fadeaway off. You
remember when Kobe did the off the one leg in the back, and it went over the off of the against the Suns when it was like. He had Luke Walton. He passed him a ball. He went inside, and then like it went over teardrop over the backboard. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Kobe, everybody, and then he was like,
But I feel like the thing about LeBron too is after that Warriors series where he won, and then they retooled with Kevin Durant. That's when I feel like LeBron started, not that he was working on a shot, but he started going towards that type of style more. Because when he came to the Lakers, he was shooting threes a lot more.
Right, he's
going in the
threes.
Post a lot more.
That finals, remember LeBron and KD? Well, he was trying to keep up with KD in his threes. Like KD was hitting threes, and then LeBron was trying to hit threes too.
I feel like right now, this series, it's like, all right, it's a more even-keeled playing field. Because when they had Kevin Durant, that was cheating, bro.
Like, the other player that needs to really step up, in my opinion, is Beasley. He's a top five 3-point shooter,
though, bro.
Top five 3-point shooter, but he can't shoot for the Lakers.
But
he
fell out the rotation already because he can't shoot for the Lakers.
And he's like, it's also this guy. I don't know if he's, from what I understand, I don't think he's been in the playoffs that much either, too. So the pressure's on. All that stuff has a big thing to do with it. I think that, don't get me wrong, he's a big part, but Byron had mentioned Schroeder. Schroeder's another one that, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, he can get to the line.
Schroeder's great.
Can get to the line, and that's what I love about him.
He sets the tone off when it comes to the bench. So it's him and Hachimura off the bench, in my opinion, you know what I mean, that need to really make it happen. And my question is, too, is who's going to be our backup for AD this series?
Well, isn't Mo Bamba back already?
I just saw him play garbage time minutes, bro. I didn't really see him play.
Nah, because, I mean, they played Gabriel last time for that ending.
Because, honestly, but
he had a couple blocks.
I even saw certain times where they were putting, like, they're running a very small ball. Hachimura was like the tallest guy out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like this series, it's going to kind of be similar because I think Kevon Looney's their big, right?
Right.
So.
But he's a 7-footer, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm saying that's their big.
They still got a big.
Yeah, I look at more guards, but I think Mo Bamba or Gabriel, like you said, it would be the backup for AD.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I prefer Mo Bamba. It's just Gabriel. Trash talk him too much.
The way I look at it,
he's too lanky.
Use your six fouls.
Hey, small ball always wins though. But
you
need that
in the paint.
Ball wins. You gotta be able to shoot and get out in transition. But you need that high rebound, and it's key too. That's rebound.
Yeah, like there are moments where Gabriel does good. It's just I just feel like he gets bullied in the paint, especially when you need a rebound because he's very scrawny.
Oh, we got Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, you guys don't think he would get used in the series?
Oh, yeah, Tristan Thompson.
I think so. Honestly,
he got playoff experience.
The fact that they're going to be chucking threes up and on that, rebounds,
at least
bro.
One game?
Right. He's good at rebounding.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And you just hope that Chloe don't mess up his game in his head. You know what I'm having another scare pulling up on, like, I thought you was at the basketball practice. And he's not.
What about the women's side about that Caitlin Clark? Let's talk about some Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese.
That's all I was saying. How do you feel about them not going pro? I'm tripping. I'm like, I'll go pro.
I'm just talking overseas. I'm talking about when Angel Reese was all like this and Caitlin Clark.
That was BS, yo. Like,
they were going at it, right? But I feel like you can't walk across a player and disrespect them and go like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. That's not humble. Where's the humility at? And it's like, if Caitlin did it too, but Angel Reese, they're talking about, Angel, they're all talking about Angel Reese doing it, but not Caitlin. They both did it. You know what I mean? Which I love competing. I love trash talking, but just doing all this and like right in front of your face, like, that's too much, Reese. Chill out. Calm down.
I feel like she did that because she felt disrespected more when she did it to her, you know, and just like she was getting a lot more notoriety because she was like being called the Curry of the league.
She was getting more media attention.
But it's like Reese was getting all that, and then Caitlin didn't get any attention, you know. And it's like, if you know, they both did it. Caitlin should have been, you know, they all mm-hmm. calling Angelique's names and disrespecting her. That's out of line, you know. Period. Yeah. That's out of line. Now, this is out of line what she did to Caitlin, but Caitlin also did something too. But it's like, out of respect and the humility aspect of it, it's like, don't walk by a player and do that, you know.
But they were both being disrespectful to each other. But I don't think, at the end of the day, I'm like, it's a ball game. Like,
right.
I don't think that they deserve the scrutiny that was given to them from either side. I'm like,
I feel like the media, they didn't have nothing else to talk about, bro. Just was like, let's talk about two college females doing,
especially
being competitive.
Here's like, the other thing. I think the media was setting it up to where like they wanted the white girl to win it.
Right.
I'm gonna be honest.
That's what I was saying. That's why I think she did that, because she was being played as the media darling the whole season.
Yes, yes.
And that's all, you know.
Every time I was looking at my feed, is like, look at how much she's scoring. Look at how well she's doing.
But she was balling,
like,
bro.
And like the other one,
she was balling.
The other one got no attention like that. But it's because she was balling.
She was doing some stuff that like you don't average 30 in college ball. It's very hard. Like coaches usually don't let you shoot that much.
Right.
So she was just doing stuff that like, you know. She was putting up numbers and she was supposed to be the media darling. But then this girl came into the March Madness and started balling her ass off.
Yeah, like, I feel like the WNBA draft was great this year. But next year with Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, I like Paige from UConn. Mm. Paige Beckers is another shooting young player. There's a lot of good players out there. I mean, I feel like women's basketball, we need the respect. They don't market it and promote it enough. And I feel like it's the revenue, you know, ticket sales. I feel like more people should come to the games, you know, especially this year with Kurt Miller. Mm-hmm. Man, Kurt Miller, the Sparks head coach now. Man, Kurt's gonna be doing big things. And
what's her name's sister? Reggie Miller's sister?
No.
What's Reggie Miller's sister? Didn't she play WNBA
Cheryl,
too?
Cheryl Miller. Yeah, Cheryl,
so hold up, they got a new coach named what Miller? What's her first name?
No, I was saying the new head coach for the Sparks is Kurt Miller.
He's already been the coach there. Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming back.
Get Derek Fisher.
He was at Connecticut Sun. He's gonna win championships. Don't get me wrong, Kurt Miller. That man, he's gonna get championships.
I need to see him.
But Rashonda Gray, my good friend, she's actually playing with the Sparks. She's a vet. She's been in the league 12 plus years, and she's a mentor actually. So I'm gonna be going to a lot of games and.
That's good. You know, so you're already surrounded by the people.
Yeah, I'm surrounded.
Where you're
by
aiming
people.
For,
right? That's what it's about. Surrounding yourself with the right people that want to see you succeed. Surrounding yourself with the right crowd, with the right circle. And she said, "See, training camp.
You gotta
is
tell
tough.
Her. You gotta be
hey,
like
training. Look. Training camp started yesterday. So I was talking to Gray today. I was like, "How did training camp go today? She was like, "Man, it was good. She was like, "I'm sore out. She was taking an ice bath. You know, she had to recover and get treatment after that.
It's you gotta take when you go to those games. You gotta take your camera and practice on that sports.
You right. Right, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Get Try some it interviews. Out. I got to get some interviews with Kelsey Plum and Coach
there's,
Miller. And
there's this one account on IG I really like as JNG Alert.
Okay.
And this guy, like, he goes and he takes, like, a lot of, he just shoots players, you know what I mean? And it's different players. And what I like about it is he uses their highlights and he puts, like, a quote or a tweet on there. Like, it's usually inspirational or motivational. So I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah.
You can be doing it for the WNBA.
Get some pictures and videos, some interviews with Plum and Gray and Coach Miller and all that. Skylar Diggins and everybody.
Damn, how Skylar Diggins be balling too, yo.
Skylar Diggins. Also, the Sparks got Zaya Cook. Zaya Cook's a good little shifty guard, athletic. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Sparks are going to do for sure.
You think who's going to win the WNBA championship this year?
You know, Vegas, Aces is always the favorite. I like Aces, you know, but I like the underdog. I'm like Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, you know, and Asia Wilson. That dude. But man, I don't know. Hopefully the Sparks, but we'll see. You know,
Phoenix is good. The Sparks,
Seattle.
What do they need to do to win a championship, or what? What kind of?
Well, they just got a new head coach. That was the missing piece, and they need some shooters. So they got Lexi Brown. So.
It sucked to see Candace Parker leave, man. I want her to come back.
Yeah,
so
I thought she was. Honestly, I thought she was from L.A. I didn't know she was from Chicago.
Yeah.
I did my research. She played for the Sky a little bit. But I feel like it's going to be a great season, great summer.
Because we had Cambridge, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we had Cambridge, too.
She left, too, though, right?
Yeah, she left. But, you know, Cambridge, I just feel like she's too soft. She got to get aggressive. She's too soft.
I don't know. I feel like she's becoming more of a off-the-court sensation more than she's really focused on basketball.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you're 7 foot, and if you're soft like that, like Charming Tissue, I don't know what to tell you. I wish I was 7 foot. Like, man.
Hey, you saying facts right now. I just feel like she's like, going more towards, like, she'd rather do modeling than play ball.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like,
I'm like, players with
to each his own, you know.
Yeah,
but
players with that size, man, you automatically get pro. You already getting looked at.
But then it's crazy because then I see her workout with Chris Johnson, mm-hmm. and she be putting these dudes in like a spinner. Like, she'd be doing a backup, like, posting up and everything. And then in the WNBA, like, she's crying over fouls. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, man, elbow somebody and just, like, lay it up. Dunk it. Because she's
And she's then good Jordan talent. Canada, too. Jordan Canada, she played at AU Pro Hoops. So Jordan Canada's a great, smart point guard. But
I need to watch her.
Jordan Canada playing for the LA Sparks. But now they're just adding more scorers. You know, you need more scoring guard. She's more a facilitating guard, which is great. But Zaya Cook is going to bring probably some scoring ability. And, you know, Lexi Brown, like I said, man, her three-point shot, she's great. I can't wait to see Brown. She's a Brown like me. No, so we got to be able to shoot. Brown, shoot, we shoot her. So,
let's,
you know.
Let's go.
So, yeah, I'm just ready, you know, for a great WNBA season.
Would you want to go to Sparks if they drafted you?
Yeah, I would love to play for the Sparks. Yeah, my hometown. Play for Kurt Miller. Yeah, that would be great.
That's, you know, dope. So, damn, in the next couple of years, we could see you playing for the Sparks possibly.
Yep.
There's no equivalent of the Clippers, though, right? In the WNBA, there's no equivalent. No. All right, good. All right, that's just,
yeah, but I mean, any team I'm grateful. You know, Aces, Mercury, you know, Seattle. Seattle has a good coach, Noel Quinn. So, Seattle may be a Joel Lloyd. So, you know, Sue Bird retired. So, they may need a point guard in Seattle Storm. So, you know, Noel Quinn got to give KK his buckets a holler, right?
Ooh.
Let's so, set. You know, I'm going to keep my options open. But, yeah, I would love to play for the Sparks for Kurt Miller.
That'd be crazy if they actually bring that Seattle Supersonics team back, too. Because that's crazy. I don't think
they are, because Vegas is supposed to get a team before Seattle does.
And also, certain. I feel like the WNBA, they need to expand and get more teams, too. You know, they're
what
talking
other city
about,
would you give, if you're the commissioner, would you say, let's get a team in there?
Is there
a
Canadian team, women's team?
No, they were actually talking about, so we have 12 WNBA teams now, so they're actually talking about adding two more. I think they were talking about in Canada, Toronto was one of the cities.
Oh, shit.
So, that would be good.
It's interesting, because when that happens, they do a certain type of, like, they do something so that that team gets drafted players and also veteran players, you know what I mean? When there's an expansion team, at least, you know what I mean? So there's a mixture. Sure. It's just not all, like, rookies in
and
the team.
And there's only 12 mm-hmm. players, you know, 144 spots. So you had training camp this week, like
144 spots.
Yeah, it's not that many spots in the WNBA. Wow. So you got to really, in training camp, that's when you really kill, boy, you know.
Wow,
you
12 teams, bro.
You got to lock in and train. Yeah, you got to.
In the NBA, there's like 300 players.
That's
in the
what
NBA.
I'm saying. It's mm-hmm. like double that. So yeah, in the NBA.
What, 32 teams, 15-man roster?
Yep.
That's wild.
That's why you gotta be consistent
and show up in training camp. That's
Does the WNBA have a developmental league like G League?
They don't even have a G League.
G League for them is the overseas, right?
Yeah, going to like yeah, pretty much.
But it's crazy because they get paid more overseas. Though. Right. Like, how'd you feel about Brittany Griner going? I mean, Brittany Griner. What's her last name?
Yeah, you said it. Right.
Oh, because last time I confused her with the other girl, and you guys corrected me.
But
wait,
that's
which
why,
girl did I confuse her with?
It's Griner is the other one.
But that's why, that's why I was going to say, that's why WNBA players in the offseason go overseas. So a lot of them do both, you know? Yeah, a lot
yeah
of them
she had been going to Russia for the last five seasons or
right,
something.
Right,
like,
she's been there for a while.
That's what I was
going
to say. How did you feel about that situation? Did that make you feel like, damn, maybe Russia's not a spot I would want to go to?
BG Griner's been there several years, so it's like, you should know better, you know? You've been to the country. It's
and
like, why would you do
especially
that?
At the time where, like, right now there's so much turmoil going on with Russia.
Right.
And I feel like that's where it's crazy. Nah, where it's like, that, you know, because, like you're saying, she been there. She probably thought, like, she could get away with what she had.
It's like, it's not
then,
L.A. It's not Cali. You can't bring a weep and you know what you can
bring.
That
shit was crazy, though.
I'm like, you should be smarter than that. Right. So I'm not mad at him at all. Like, I have no comment. Like, that, you know what you should have done, and that's on you.
Kaylin would not put herself in that situation.
Not at all. You got to make better decisions than that, BG.
That's crazy, though, because she spent, what, almost 6 months there, probably?
A while, yeah. I think, yeah, about
Sheesh.
6 months.
And she's back in the NBA, in the WNBA, right?
Yeah, she's back. She's back with Phoenix at training camp, so yeah, she's back.
So their season about to start rolling, right?
Yeah, like, May 19th, season opener, May 19th. They got a preseason game May 14th.
Who the Sparks got? First game.
I think Sparks got Phoenix.
Oh,
Sparks got Mercury, first game.
Wow.
May 19th, yep.
You going to be there?
I should be. I usually work every game, so I try to be every home game at least, right?
Got it.
So, yeah, I'm going to be there. The preseason game, Mother's Day weekend, the 14th. So, my birthday is the 12th, so I'm going to, like, probably treat my
Taurus
mom to
gang,
the
Taurus game.
Taurus
game.
Shout out
let's
to all
go.
The Tauruses. But, yeah, probably go to the game on Sunday. You know, go to breakfast with my mom on Sunday and go to the game.
Dope.
Speaking of Tauruses, it happens to be my little Mambacita's birthday today. I just wanted to ask you, like, did you ever keep up with her, like,
Player, how far you think she would go, or where do you think she would have gone?
If she I goes feel to like, NBA? Man, she was a great player for that young age. And having one of the best fathers, you know, one of the best players, one of the greatest Lakers, you know, in my opinion, and the greatest scorer and Laker, Kobe Bryant, out as her father, you know, she would have went really far. And, you know, it's just sad to say RIP to Kobe, RIP to Gigi, you know. She worked really hard, and, you know, everything that Kobe did, her dad did, they were always in the gym together shooting. She had that turnaround fade at 13, 14, right? It's like certain things that her dad, you know, instilled in her. And I feel like that she would have been a great player. And it's really sad because, like I said, Kobe's my favorite player. And it's emotional, you know, like talking about it and like watching his videos still, you know, listening to his motivational speeches. And every time it just like, it's crazy. It's
still
just,
choke up.
Yeah, I still can't imagine. Same. You know, it's
my, my favorite interview of his was his Muse documentary that he made.
Okay.
That one's my favorite one because it's just like, it's just him telling you everything. You know what I mean? It's not like other people's perspective. It's just all him.
Right.
Post retirement, right?
No, that was he released Achilles, that like the last
when
year.
His Achilles was messed up.
Yeah, like
he
that, was, that's when he
that was
did
like
that.
The recovery road. Like he was still in the league.
When he and did. It's like Kobe's my why and purpose. Like there's each and every day because it's like just like his positivity and like how much he inspired the young kids and inspired the youth. It's like it's just he was a great father, great mentor. He did a lot for the city of LA and a great player. And it's like there's not that many fathers out there, obviously, in this world. So it's like I didn't have a father. So it's like if Kobe was my father, I know all his kids are, you know, thankful and blessed to even have a father like Kobe that really cared about you, really took you to the gym and really showed you what that work ethic was like just so you can, you know, succeed and accomplish your dreams and goals and just stay goal driven. So that's, I know that was just a tragic, it sad, is, very yo, emotional. Like, yeah.
I feel like I still cry every time, like, and especially now that I'm a father, I think about it, and like to think you're on your way to take your kid to play ball, something you do almost every day with your daughter, you know, something you do, or in my case, I have both male and female, so it's like, I thinking about that, like taking my kids to play soccer, taking my kids to play basketball, and then something that tragic happening. And then thinking about Vanessa, like what she must have been thinking when she got that call, when she's like, they never take the helicopter together, you know, and she must have been on her way or whatever. I don't know, man. It's just.
And I feel like, though, I feel like, honestly, like they shouldn't have even got, you know.
It was so foggy,
because
it's
foggy, the weather conditions. So it's like you shouldn't even have went, you know.
Right. But I feel like the way I hear that the pilot was just trying to take Kobe where he was meaning to go and like. He must have just been like, I got this. And then.
But it's like the pilot should have known. Everybody should have known. Exactly. Like the weather condition. You can wait a week or so to go to a tournament game. It's like, it's not worth that. You know what I mean?
For real. Because like now the league basketball is going to miss. Like Gigi's not going to get the opportunity to do what she could have done. You know, and I feel like basketball could have got. Because Kobe was. They said that he was trying to do something with the AAU to where it wasn't what it is now, where it was more fundamental. It was more like Euro League, where like people actually knew basketball, not just one-on-ones
and
stuff
like that.
Right,
where they teach the game. Yeah, right. IQ is really important, teaching the game of basketball. Like my trainer, PD, it's cool. You know, you can show your handles here and there, but like 10, 15, 20 dribbles, like you got to get to your spots and – 3-4 dribble, 2-3 dribbles, yeah, counter, exactly. Right? So it's like, you cut out counter, finish, Euro, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. High pickup, low pickup, you know? A floater, you know, teardrop, whatever, over the big. Like, counter the defender in 2-3 moves, combo moves. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're not working on 6-7-10 dribbles, you know? It's like, you got to get to your spots and be efficient.
Yeah, I've seen a breakdown of that. I forgot what player. There's an ex-player from the NBA where I saw this video he made where he's like, so there's a lot of guys in the gym who can, like, do all these nice dribbles and everything. And he's like, but in the NBA,
it's not about all
these moves I can do in order to get there. It's like,
2-3
can you make
pass.
It? Exactly. Can you make it in two moves?
Right.
In one
two,
move?
Three move, one move.
Can I get out there? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's where the discipline comes in.
Right. And, like, that's really, like
and it seems simple, but it's actually very complex.
Just to think, J. Cole tried to go to the NBA. It's not that easy, buddy.
Yeah,
like, he saw
like
something
else.
But like
I said, you got to play the right way. So, like I said, your handles is good to show in there, but 10, 12, 15, you're like, the best players are smart and efficient. You see Chris Paul, you see Luka Doncic, you see all these guards, they get to their spot. If you don't have a shot, you swing the ball, move, pass, cut, screen, you know, move without the ball. It's all quick but patient and not all that dribbling, because you just, a good defender is going to just sit on that and lock it up. Like, it's a wasted possession, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah. At least pass and cut, man.
Right,
like,
pass, cut, set, screen, on-ball screen,
yeah,
off-ball,
that was one thing I hate about the Lakers this season, earlier in the season, is everybody just be watching the ball, right. One-on-one ball.
One-on-one, like, show, just watching.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
It's
like,
you going to set it down screen, you going to cut the screen on ball, you know, move it out the ball.
That's the type of basketball I hate to watch sometimes. Right. Like, I get it when it's like fourth quarter.
Right, when ISO, the shot clock's going down, ISO, like, okay.
ISO, you know
right. Right, get out the way, 10 seconds left in the shot clock, ISO.
I mean, I love that video where he's like, I know what this means. ISO.
But the thing that's crazy about it, like, you don't even see somebody like, all right, you're going to ISO, at least post them up and get to the, you know, get to the basket in that way. Nah, it's just like a weird pull up for a three and it's boink, long rebound. We're going to transition the other way. And I'm like,
one thing that I like, Magic Johnson and back in Showtime, they talked about how they had a play that they could run for each player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. You know, even if it was just for Kurt Rambis, for AC Green, they had something for everybody. And when you have a point guard like Magic, too, that the IQ is through the roof, he knows where they're going to be at, even if he's not looking in that direction.
Right,
like,
2-3 plays ahead of time. He's reading the defense, help defense. He's already thinking ahead of the game.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Magic was great.
You know, so
did you ever watch that show that they came out with?
No, I haven't. I got to check it out.
That's a dope show.
Which one, the Showtime Lakers?
Showtime?
There's that one, and then there's another one on Hulu where they break down the whole history of the Lakers.
The Hulu one is better.
That one's.
Well, the Hulu,
there's one that's a docuseries, and then there's one that's a show.
Yeah, the dramatized version of it. Yeah, yeah. So it's like.
On Hulu, I got to check it out.
But I will watch both.
Well, the Hulu one was actually released by the Lakers organization.
Right.
The one on HBO. It's made by HBO. It was without the consent of the Laker organization. But it's a dramatization of it, basically.
I think it's not called Showtime. It's called Winning Time.
Yeah. Winning Time, you're right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I got a tune.
They call it Winning Time because they couldn't use Showtime.
Yeah, Lakers didn't give them the... Okay.
Yeah, because they didn't have the authority of the Lakers.
It's based off of a book, though, that a journalist wrote, and then they made it into a show.
Mm.
Okay.
So it's from a perspective of that journalist. I forget the name of the journalist and whatnot. So he wrote the book, and then HBO picked it up, made the show. And it received a lot of backlash initially because people like Jerry West...
They didn't like the way they were portrayed.
They were depicted and portrayed. But, you know, off of other people's interviews and stuff, it's like, okay, it's actually
Jerry
pretty
West
accurate.
In the show broke a golf club because he got pissed because they were drafting Magic Johnson. And then Jerry Buss was being portrayed as a misogynist, like sex addict. He was just having sex everywhere. And then, like, that's why he got... The whole show... premise starts with the announcement of Magic Johnson announcing AIDS or HIV positive.
Yeah.
And then it like does a weird warp rewind to it goes to when he got drafted to the Lakers. So it's a dope dramatization of the show. I liked it.
I did too.
But obviously the Showtime one on Hulu is just historical, like factual.
Yeah, that one's
it's
like
factual.
Actual
you know,
yeah. Like one thing that I learned from that documentary was that Jerry Buss was about to buy the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And because he had that Playboy image, the hardcore Christian Bible Belt people from Texas were like, no, we can't let that happen. Nah. So that's why he wasn't able to buy it. Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones.
And he used to own the Empire Building. He bought the Empire Building
to get the Lakers.
To get the Forum.
And the Lakers.
I got to do more research on Magic in my history, Jerry West. I'm lost in this conversation.
No, it's crazy. Trust me.
I'm a little lost, so I can't hop in.
The whole thing about, but that's the thing, like the whole thing about Jerry West, when I was telling you about him breaking the golf club, it was a dramatization. Nobody knows it was true, but there are people saying that he was a hothead, though. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, but
he's very competitive and all that type
of
stuff.
Right, but he just couldn't get it to where he was already out of, like, he was coaching at one point and then couldn't get them to win or kept losing even right there. And then he was just like, I just want to be out there. I remember that was one of the lines where he was like, I just wish I could still be out there.
He is, man. Mr. Logo. So.
For real. Yeah. He's always going to be out there.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's crazy,
it just
though.
Sucks because he's a Clipper now.
Aww. How you feel about Kawhi Leonard? He's a LA guy, obviously.
And Paul George. Let's talk about both of them.
PG.
I mean,
Palmdale P.
Do you feel like Kawhi Leonard should retire?
No, I don't see. I don't see that. I think Kawhi should still play. He's still
because
playing
this is a crazy thing that Stephen A. Smith said that he like if he's not gonna be helping the team win, why is he taking the 42 million?
Stephen A. Smith, man, that man, he'll say anything.
But
right?
That on that one, I could agree with him though because it was like. They literally just, he played what, one game in that series and then didn't play at all the rest of the series? And it was like, bro, you're in the playoffs. You didn't play at all damn near the whole season because you had like the load management. And then when it comes to where the load management, this is why they manage your load for the playoffs. Right. Like
you're not suiting up.
I'm like, honestly, and that's why like I hate that people give AD so much grief. Cause I'm like Kawhi in the same city,
right?
And he's doing the same thing, if not
worse.
They
call him street clothes. They don't call the Kawhi street clothes.
Exactly, bro. And it's like you said,
he paid one game in the series.
And AD just had 25 blocks in his series, like,
and they still call him street clothes. Crazy. Like Charles Barkley would still throw a jab at him. Sometimes.
Yeah, because Charles Barkley's like, a hater.
You got a ring, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
AD at least got a ring, even in the bubble. But we got a ring. Do you count that ring, by the way?
I count that ring.
Let's go. Yeah. She counts that ring.
I count it.
Because all these other Clipper fans.
Hey, bro, the
talking.
Two teams that were in the finals just beat the 1 and 2 seed in the East and West.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. And it's damn near the same core team, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. And honestly, with the Miami-New York series, I would like the Knicks to win.
Oh, you want New York?
Yeah, because I like Julius Randle. I like the team that they put together. Because I don't feel like...
Brunson? You like Brunson?
Yeah, I feel like there's no true star there. Yeah, like, right. You can say Randle's the perennial...
Julius
the,
is a star right there.
But, like...
Not a superstar.
They don't have a Jimmy Butler star.
Right.
You know what I mean?
On the other side, Jimmy Butler's...
Also, just a star. He hasn't passed the superstardom, you know.
No, Jimmy Butler is a star for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But not like he hasn't hit that like
Curry or Luka Doncic.
Like
Luka Doncic came into the league the second year, he was a superstar.
I don't even feel like Randle.
John Morant. Bro, John Morant is a superstar.
But would you say that Randle's even hit that stardom? I don't feel
that's what I'm saying. He's a star.
But so you're but I'm
he's still an all-star, right?
He's a star player. Yeah, he
still makes the
all-stars,
right?
Jimmy Butler though. I put Jimmy Butler over Julius Randle though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I would for sure put Butler over Randle.
So that's why in my opinion Jimmy Butler's a superstar then.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler is a superstar.
Can't call him both
Jimmy
a star if he's above.
Jimmy Butler is a superstar. I agree with that.
He's a maybe. I would say he's an underrated superstar.
Underrated, maybe.
Yes,
the,
for sure.
The media definitely doesn't give him the superstar
title. He doesn't get the credit. Yes,
because he's definitely like one of the best two-way players.
I feel like Butler's above Ja in my eyes. I feel like
hell yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Speak your truth.
Definitely. Yeah, he's above Ja. Just because Ja can jump out the gym, I mean.
Butler's honestly, right now, how it currently stands, I put Jimmy Butler over James Harden.
I gotta sit down.
He's like, slow it down, as it currently stands.
Harden just dropped 45. That's my boy Harden.
Hey, 56
as it currently
though?
Stands though.
56
as it currently stands.
Not
though,
even,
my
is that, huh?
I'm just saying, as it currently stands, though, you know what I mean? Like,
Jimmy Butler
showed that he was able to lead a team at least to the finals. Okay. James Harden, he has to do that.
James Harden, I like.
And right now, he has a running
like
mate
James
in
Harden.
Joel Embiid.
My brother knows. Like, I used to his step back is an easy move to learn, so it's like I used to use that move a lot, but then.
Now he's got the hezzy to counter to the step back, though.
He got away from it, though. Like, I feel like, you know how in the league he was going to the free throw line 18 times a game?
He was doing that four-point play, and then he can't do that anymore.
Exactly.
So he's not doing that low-key.
Yeah, he can't do that no more. Right. So it's like, that was killing me about him, but I still, he got a solid game. I just like Jimmy Butler because he got that old school, I'm going to back you down. You know what I'm saying? Like,
post-game.
Come on. Just look at that last shot to hit it to overtime. He's falling. Throws it up and it still lands it off the glass. Come on, there's not a lot of players that can do that.
Jimmy Butler, definitely buckets. Underrated.
I mean, you guys gotta remember that he's the one that drove Miami in the bubble.
Yeah,
he's the one that took them to the final.
I put him above. I mean, call me crazy. I'll put him above Kawhi right now too. Put him above PG.
Kawhi Leonard got him a ring in Toronto, bro. You're tripping, bro.
Put him above Kawhi.
He should have stayed. Would you say he should have stayed in Toronto?
I think
he'd be facing the same kind of injury plagueness that
That's what I was about to say. I think his knees was done, period, though. Like, because he was already having those issues over there.
I think Kawhi, if he doesn't have the injuries, he would be a way crazy
if he
star.
Was
right
healthy
now. But at the end of the day, he won two rings.
I think he should have never left the Spurs.
I blame Zaza in that case because it was Zaza the one that injured him initially.
He stayed on the Spurs with Parker and Dungy.
Because I remember that series. He was about to take out the Warriors, bro.
He took his foot out.
If it wasn't for Zaza Pachulia doing that, like, I don't know.
Damn. And then I would have to say that went from an ankle injury to a thigh injury to now his knees is done.
And then Paul George's shoulders are just horrible. And
then Paul George
has surgery on
his
shoulders.
I went to against OKC. I'm not a Clipper, but I went to a game because, you know, I coach and I had a free ticket, whatever, here and there. And I was like, PG got hurt. And I'm like, man. It's like, that's what I'm saying.
You saw him get hurt at that game?
Yeah, he hurt his leg when he landed on it. He was walking past the tunnel right by me because I was by the bench and I was like, Man, like I was like, it's a wrap. It's done. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you gotta take care of your body, recovery, weight room, like all that is important, you know. Definitely. And especially in the NBA, it's an 82 game season. WNBA is like 36 games, 40 games. So it's like 82 game season. You gotta stay healthy. That recovery.
And you gotta playoffs too.
And playoffs back to backs. You know, you gotta make
sure. Weren't they gonna change it to 72 games? Apparently.
Something yeah, like I heard that. They were gonna you know shorten the season
For the NBA.
For the NBA, yeah.
WNBA needs to.
How do WNBA you feel like, needs to add more games, honestly. Because I feel like 40 that too. Games is too short.
And what they should do also is they should have like a season and a B season. Since it's, if they're not gonna do extend the season, at least make it like 30 games here and then 30 games another season. Like you know, like
in one of the. I know there's gonna be an in-season tournament for the NBA too.
Okay.
It's gonna be that. Players smoke weed now.
I mean, that's. I was talking to KJ and he told me that they stopped. Kenyon Martin Jr.
Oh yeah,
and he was telling me that they stopped testing for that 2 years ago.
Oh, they just stopped testing?
During COVID. Yeah, they stopped testing for weed, and then now it's just now they literally made it official where they made the announcement.
So but then they tested again? Or
no, they're not testing you for it. So only thing. And then I was talking to Cassius Stanley about it too, and he was telling me that they're only testing for PEDs now, basically, and any like Schedule One type drugs. Wow. But I'm like, damn, who in the league would be taking Schedule One? You never know.
Never know.
You but never know. Damn, anything you want to share with us, Kaylin, before we let you go?
I'm just thankful and blessed to be here. I appreciate you guys. This was great, great setup, man. Great people, good positive vibes. I like the barbershop, man. It was just amazing, you know. Thank I had you a great
for,
time.
Thank you for coming. I can't wait to see where you're going in life and in your career as a basketball professional athlete.
And I hope
athlete.
To see you guys at my games, maybe.
Oh,
you know,
man, for sure. Yeah. Hey, let us know. I mean, we're definitely.
Where's Bethesda, by the way?
Bethesda is actually Bethesda. In Anaheim.
Okay.
We're going to make a trip one of these days, man. Ooh, we're going to have to definitely do that and check out a game and have our shooter.
Bring the daughter got to bring the little one,
oh,
too.
Oh, that, too. Yeah, so she can see.
Or when you're APU, you know, and so, I mean, Manny's going to show us his old stomping ground.
All right.
Yep. So, both maybe a few that's games right at Bethesda, a few games at APU. Then I'll be a pro by then. I'll be
let's
on TV.
Go.
Then we'll be courtside at the Sparks.
Yeah, courtside.
Thank you.
She had us courtside, not the middle row. What's good? It was good.
Hey, she's a Drake fan. She should know that line.
Hey, but I'm going to make sure, for sure, you guys, when I go pro, you guys all get courtside too. On me.
That's crazy, yo. I can't wait.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be dope too if like, once you get to APU or even at the Bethesda, I mean, you were talking pretty highly about your coach. We could have your coach on. That'd be really cool, too.
That would be
mean?
Great. Coach Cam would love to be on the podcast.
You
know I'll let her know as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know
she's
mean?
Actually doing a Coaches Through Christ, so she does a little own podcast herself, too.
Oh, like, that's Coaches dope. Through
Christ.
So you should do a coaching podcast. You should bring –
She's Christian.
Yeah, she's Christian,
oh,
too.
Oh, dope. Yeah. Nice. I mean, we're definitely trying to get more women on the podcast, so I think that'd be dope.
That'd be dope.
If you can throw us that alley,
I'll throw you the line.
We'll try
to
dunk it, yeah. We'll try to definitely dunk that for sure, just because, like, I've been on that. I've been on my own faith journey lately. Like, you know, I don't feel like nobody's perfect, but I feel like as long as you're striving for progress, God sees your heart and everything. So I feel like definitely would like to see what she's talking about, man.
Yeah, I'm going to for sure.
I kind of like 10 likes
know.
On that one.
I'll let
I kind of like 10 likes on that one. I'm just going to point that one out.
Like. That's it, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Peace.